Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to the radio programme Brave New World. My name's John Harrison. In Aldous Huxley's book of the same name, death is celebrated. Most of those who reach 60 and become economically, quote, useless, are euthanized. Hearses are gaily coloured. People are sent to die in comfortable primrose-coloured apartment blocks, which are alive and gay with synthetic melodies, and where there's a TV at the foot of every bed. Today, people aren't euthanized en masse, but we do have the bizarrely called idea, right to die, particularly in some liberal-leaning circles. The colourful, cheerful death centres of Brave New World are perhaps reflected in the euthanasia clinics in modern Europe, where one can request a good death in comfortable surroundings if you are terminally ill, or, in the case of Belgium, simply suffering from depression. Is this the direction we should be going in? To discuss these issues, I welcome to the programme Gert Heinzmann, the President of the Federation of Palliative Care of Flanders, Alex Schadenberg, the Executive Director of the Euthanasia and Prevention Coalition in Ontario, and John Kelly, New England Regional Director of the Not Yet Dead Anti-Euthanasia Activist Group in Boston. Thank you all very much indeed for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Hi. Could we just go quickly round the panel here and just tell us briefly, us listeners, what is the legal situation in your country? So we can start with you, Gert Heinzmann.
What you mentioned, in Flanders and in Belgium, euthanasia is not a right. You have the right to request for euthanasia, and that's a world of difference. So
right.
It's not that you have the right to choose your moment of dying with euthanasia. You have to follow certain conditions that are mentioned in the law. You have to have unbearable suffering caused by a disease or an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And the physician you request your euthanasia at should have the internal persuasion that euthanasia is the only proper solution for your problems. Then in some cases and in some circumstances, euthanasia is acceptable, but
okay.
It's not a right as such.
Thank you very much. Alex Schadenberg from Canada.
Well, in Canada, euthanasia and assisted suicide were technically just legalized, even though it's held off for 12 months by the Supreme Court of Canada. So at this moment, our Canadian Parliament is looking at the question as to how to frame legislation in order to continue protecting Canadians. The fact is that the Supreme Court made a very irresponsible decision because of how the language it used.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, it remains, at this very second, it remains illegal until the Supreme Court's 12-month open window closes, and then there would have to be legislation in place. The fact of it is the courts used a very similar model to Belgium, meaning that they said it was acceptable for both physical and psychological suffering, as well as they defined it as being acceptable for people with disabilities. And they defined it fairly openly. So someone who's a person with disabilities, like a John Kelly who's on the call, if he were considered competent, he could simply be euthanized if that were approved by a doctor. The concept that this is about choice, though, I have a big issue with, because it's not always about choice. It's often about people in a difficult time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel, because of the system or because of what's going on or because of other pressures, that they really have no other choice.
Okay, so both in Belgium and Canada, we seem to be entering into a sort of grey area. We're not quite sure whether it's legal or not.
Well, in Belgium, it's definitely legal,
mm-hmm.
as the doctor just explained.
Mm-hmm. John Kelly, situation in the States, please.
Yes, in 3 of the 50 states, assisted suicide is legal, in which a doctor judges whether someone is making a choice without impaired judgment,
mm-hmm.
and can prescribe a lethal dosage barbiturate. And what the problem for that is people's lives will be ended through mistakes and abuse, because
yeah.
No safeguards can ever be enacted or proposed that can prevent innocent people from losing their lives. And in the disabled community, we are full of people who have had our lives judged to be terminal or not worth living by a hostile medical establishment. So we are working to uphold the value of our lives and everyone's lives against this quality of life judgment.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate here. If I personally, John Harrison, disabled, have been disabled for most of my life, and my condition is deteriorating, it's getting worse, I have absolutely no hope. Who are you to stop me making the decision that I want to end my own life?
We do not make that decision that you can't end your life, because suicide is not illegal anywhere, and people can find a way. What we are against is setting up a social policy in which some people's lives are judged not to be valuable and are offered suicide, whereas other people who are valued receive suicide prevention services.
Yeah, and I guess that I would bring in here Baroness Swanock in the UK, who said that elderly people should ask themselves if they have a duty to die, because if you are demented, you're wasting the resources of the NHS. And the point that you're making, I believe, John, is that if this becomes a social policy, then government around the world can get on board this and decide, okay, well, this category of people, they cost an awful lot of money, let's euthanize them. I mean, I'm putting it very bluntly, but...
Well, that's exactly what's going on, because insurance companies, all they have to do is delay or withhold treatment. The state-run programs are always cutting costs.
Okay.
And we've already seen people offered... assisted suicide in order to save the state money.
Gert or Alexis?
I would like to intervene because that's just what we in palliative care try to prohibit. It can never be the intention that people choose for euthanasia because of lack of good care. So if you want to legalize euthanasia in a country, I think you have to have the commitment of the government that good care and good palliative care is any circumstance and in any setting is available for every people and is affordable, because otherwise people don't have really a free choice.
It's a problem though, isn't it? Because the way that our societies are constructed, we're led to believe that we can be a burden. I mean, I read every other day in the papers that the over 60s or the over 55s rather, that do create a huge burden for society, that we do cost a lot of money. And when our bodies aren't functioning, we can't work as hard as everybody else. I mean, why should we be allowed to live? Let's try and answer this question after a short break.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World radio programme. My name's John Harrison. Today we're talking about the terrible theme of euthanasia. I'm joined by Gert Heysmans, the President of the Federation of Palliative Care of Flanders, by Alex Schadenberg, the Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition in Ontario, and John Kelly, New England Regional Director of the Not Dead Yet Anti-Euthanasia Activist Group in Boston. Just before the break, we were about to try and answer the question as to why over 55s who feel themselves and who are perhaps are a burden to society should be able to live.
Well, I think the point that the physician just made is important about the doctor deciding, because he said someone would request it and the doctor should turn them away in circumstances. And the fact is, this euthanasia concept is being sold to the culture as it's all about my freedom of choice, when in fact it's really not about my freedom of choice. The person might have the ability to request it. The question is, who's actually making the decision and under what circumstances? So when John's talking about the fact that people with disabilities really, in most cases or many cases, really don't feel they have a choice, it's because that is the reality. It's not because that's some social worry.
But
it's the reality, and it's the doctor making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is John Kelly. Out in Oregon, up to half of the program participants who've died under the program have been reported as feeling like a burden. That puts the lie to any notion of free individual choice.
Yeah, being a burden, it's a psychological state, isn't it, as well as a physical state. I mean, I can get myself into a situation of depression where I can convince myself very easily that I'm a burden to somebody somewhere, or a burden to a whole society. So why not, you know, just get rid of the problem and just go, you know? And I can imagine there are millions of people out there who feel exactly that. And if they're allowed to legally end their suffering quickly, then they probably will do. Now, that's
well,
the problem with society,
it
isn't
is
it?
Not, can I intervene? Because it's not legal to end someone's life with a depression that can still be cured. Mm. So that's not legal. Also not in Belgium. We cannot do so. And I think if, as a physician, you have the feeling that there is any pressure, or that there is still a reasonable medical solution for the suffering of someone, well, then you simply cannot perform within the law euthanasia. So it's very important to deal with these kinds of requests very careful, very caring, taking enough time, and then you come to a good decision. And it's not the decision of the doctor, it's the decision of the patient, the doctor, and sometimes even you have a thorough dialogue with relatives. We think also in palliative care that there should be a multidisciplinary team that is surrounding the patient to have good quality of decisions.
Okay, so such decisions should be made independently, because otherwise subjective criteria are going to come in, and of course the patient, him or herself, can say, well, I'm too depressed to talk about this, just want it all to be over. Parents, friends who know that person will probably say the same thing, right?
But the doctor has just given us the theory of how it's supposed to work.
How it's supposed to work.
That people who are depressed are not qualified for it if they're not competent. But in fact, we're seeing in Belgium, especially from the euthanasia clinic, that certain cases have come through that have seemed very, very controversial, because these people, in all intents and purposes, in any other situation, would have been considered treatable.
Yeah.
But they died by euthanasia because a doctor in the end agreed that, oh, yes, you do qualify. So the fact is, as much as it's supposed to be careful, it's only careful based on the willingness of a physician, in this case, to make it careful. And it's not always careful. And you see in the Netherlands, there's been several cases that seem to be almost ridiculous in nature of what the decision was to kill someone that way. And yet the law seems to be reasonable, but it's applied by people who are not applying it in a reasonable way.
So, Alex, are you saying that there should be either yes or no? You know, either it's possible or it isn't possible. There's no gray area.
In fact, the gray area will always find abuse.
Yeah, okay, so there shouldn't
be. Well, there will always be a bit of a gray area, but I don't work for good order. I don't work in a euthanasia clinic. I work in a palliative care unit
and as a
palliative physician for a home care team. And we have now more than 12 years' experience with embedding euthanasia in palliative care, and I think our experience is that we can make proper decisions in a good way, in a proper way, in a really careful way. Mm-hmm. And then you can come in some situations to the conclusion that euthanasia really is the best option there when it's the request of the patient.
We in the United States, the disability rights movement, have fought for a generation against the arrogance being displayed by the doctor, where the doctors can presume to judge the quality of life and when it is correct to end it. We have a history of being judged to not have high quality of lives. And whenever suffering is the subjective criterion for deciding who gets to die, people with disabilities will always be the ones who are targeted.
But, John, there's a couple of things here. Firstly, we're moving into a very high-tech medical world, aren't we, where more and more situations are outsourced. I don't actually remember when I last saw a doctor. Most of my ailments are solved over the phone, or I go to the chemist and buy my drugs and pop them, and I'm okay again. I mean, the physical contact between patients and doctors is being reduced in many, many different countries. We're moving into a high-tech medical world. Isn't it now possible where governments can just say, okay, like this disease and this disease, it's already been decided, you know, we're not going to treat them because we can't afford it. There's no money there. The insurance companies are hugely important in this, aren't they?
They are, and this is a neoliberal assault on people's right to live in the community with support around them and not to be targeted for killing for the bottom line. No matter what goes on here, people will lose their lives because of mistaken diagnosis, because of pressures, because of lack of services.
Mm.
And what we're seeing here is a rush to judgment in which some people's lives are judged not to be as valuable as others. And that's a violation of enlightenment ideal of...
We've got to finish the program. And I think the situation in Belgium is absolutely amazing. And the amount of money and resources and care that you're describing, Gert Huysen, is absolutely amazing. But it's not like that all over the world, is it? I'm sure it's not really like that in the States. And I mean, God help us if we were to live in India or in...
It's a condition to have good care, to perform in a good way euthanasia, because otherwise it's a choice under pressure, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. We haven't come to a conclusion, and we certainly would never be able to in a 15-minute programme like this. Thank you very, very much indeed. All my guests, Gert Huysen, the President of the Federation of Palliative Care of Flanders, Alex Schadenberg, the Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition in Ontario, and John Kelly, New England Regional Director of the Not Dead Yet Anti-Euthanasian Activist Group in Boston.
Brave New World.